Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And as we begin the broadcast, I want to remind you that the resource of the month by Joe Dallas, titled Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, it's available. You can find it on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. The redefinition of marriage is no small thing. Marriage has at all times and in all societies been a relationship between men and women. It exists because of the dual gender distinct nature of humanity. Marriage and procreation are more than just incidental. But in a contrary opinion, you have a Supreme Court Justice, Anthony Kennedy, holding that marriage, as historically defined, fosters little more than ill will and animosity. In his considered opinion, anyone who embraces the historical definition of marriage, thus excluding same-sex couples, does so, and here's the motivation that he assigns to those who does so out of hate and animus. What must surely be self-evident to this supremely erudite arbiter of justice is that virtually every redefinition of marriage, including his own, excludes someone. Siblings, the polygamous, the underaged, well, you can make up the rest. But is this due to hate, or could it be due to common sense? Because if marriage means everything, in the end, it may well mean nothing at all. As Maggie Gallagher has well said, social institutions like marriage are created, sustained, and transmitted by words and the images, symbols, and feelings that surround those words. Change the meaning of the word, and you change the thing itself. For example, if you redefine the word cat to mean a furry domestic animal with four legs and a tail, it becomes quite difficult to know whether you're talking about a cat, a dog, or something altogether other. If we want to speak to each other about cats, we will either have to invent a new term and hope it will still communicate the full valence of that old word, rich with historic associations and symbolic overtones, or we will have to do without a word for cat at all. One might reasonably foresee, without charting all the particular specific mechanisms, that it might become harder to communicate an idea for which we no longer have a word. Redefinition of marriage is a very, very serious matter. And yet the leaders of at least three mainline Protestant denominations have celebrated the U.S. Supreme Court legalization of same-sex marriage, replete with its redefinition of the meaning of the moniker. Again, Joe Dallas deals with all of this and much more in Speaking of Homosexuality, the book available for those who support the ministry. All this month, let's go right to the phone calls. A lot of you hanging on. First up, Connie listening in Dayton, Ohio. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I am theologically concerned about the Godhead and the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
because I'm realizing by studying of church history that a good percentage of the early church were not Trinitarians. They were modalistic monarchians. And Trinitarians today have the tendency to exclude modalists from orthodoxy. And there are many, many scriptures that I'm reading that makes the Trinity sometimes difficult to believe. So what do you say about the orthodoxy of those who are not Trinitarians?
Well, I
and,
think that you
if
have...
you want those scriptures?
Sure, I think that
if
you
have... If you want those scriptures, I can share some with you.
Well, here's what I think you need to do. I think you need to go precisely to the source that you just mentioned, which is you must go to the scriptures. And what becomes very clear when you do go to the scriptures is that they teach us very, very clearly that there is only one God. So as Christians, we are fiercely monotheistic. But yet, as you continue through the panoply of Scripture, and remember to understand the Scriptures, it's not only important to understand the individual passages, but the Scripture as a whole. When you look at the Bible as a whole, you have one God, but within the Godhead, there are three centers of consciousness. The Father is called God, the Son is called God, and the Holy Spirit is called God. And furthermore, in reading Scripture, passages like the Annunciation or Christ's baptism or the Great Commission, we see that the three centers of consciousness within the Godhead are eternally distinct. Now, I have many times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast admitted that this is beyond my comprehension. I only apprehend what the Scripture teaches, and I bow my knee before God's self-revelation. But I think as well there are great ramifications for denouncing or not believing in the Trinity. If God is merely Unitarian, then God lacks moral perfection, because independent of the universe, God would not have had an object upon which to lavish his love. And there wouldn't have been an observer. So a Unitarian God lacks what is necessary for moral perfection. So I think it is a huge, huge error to try to reinvent God in the manner of your own understanding. Because when you do, your God becomes too small. As C.S. Lewis said, the made-up religions are the simplest religions. He said this: all sorts of people are fond of repeating the Christian statement that God is love, but they seem not to notice that the word God is love has no real meaning unless God contains at least two persons. Love is something that one person has for another person. If God was a single person, then before the world was made, he was not love. He most certainly could not exercise love, and only a God of love is fully personal. In other words, only a triune God can be fully personal, and only through a personal God can we comprehend human personhood. And I think C.S. Lewis was absolutely right, and philosophers and scholars have weighed in on this subject over the years, and with exactly the same concept. You cannot have a Unitarian God and have a God of love independent of the universe. Now, obviously, when the universe was created, God would have had people on which to lavish love. But the universe was not always in existence. The universe came into existence in a point of time. So again, the Bible does not communicate a morally deficient God. It communicates a Trinitarian God. And while we can't comprehend, we can apprehend, and thus we simply bow our knee before God's revelation of himself to us. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Judy in Austin, Texas. Judy's listening on the web. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I was wondering if you could speak on Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 22. My brother is a Jehovah's Witness, and he uses this to prove that Jesus had a beginning, that he was created, not eternal. And he also references Revelation 3:14. I was just wondering what you could say about that for me.
Yeah, the basic argument is that in 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ is called the wisdom and the power of God. And thus in Proverbs chapter 8, God brings forth wisdom. In other words, he creates Jesus. But this is simply reading something into the text that the text does not tell us. By their line of reasoning, there would have been a time that God was devoid of power and wisdom. So this is a spurious argument, particularly in the light of the fact that if you read through Proverbs, and I took the time to memorize it, if you read through Proverbs, what you find is that over and over again, wisdom is personified. For example, wisdom is personified as a woman who lives with another woman named Prudence. This is a personification, and if you take that in a wooden literalistic sense, then you read into the Bible nothing more than your own meaningless nonsense. And that's precisely what the Watch Hour organization does. So rather than cold, hard, abstract propositions, we need to recognize that Proverbs uses poetic personification to drive home the importance of wisdom, and it's contrasting wisdom with the way of the fool. So again, they're taking a text out of context and using it as a pretext, and they've done this by tampering with the text, not reading the text in the sense in which it's intended, but tampering with the text. The most egregious example comes from Colossians chapter 1, where they add the word other to the text four different times. So he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. There they insert the word other. For by him all other things were created. The idea in Watchtower thinking is that God creates Jesus Christ and then he becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things. But this, again, is tampering with the text as opposed to learning to read the text in the sense in which it's intended.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much. Very helpful.
Much more information available through the Christian Research Institute. Just check it out on the web at equip.org. I've also written on this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, the book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Josh in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I got a couple quick questions here. Passage is in Hebrews, I believe it's 2:1. Where they're warning against drifting. And I just wanted you to take on this, if this is something that is a warning as far as, because it says there will be no repentance left, is this a warning to the Jews themselves, or is this a warning to anybody who drifts away and tries to come back?
Well, I think Hebrews is written to the Jews, and I think ultimately what you have is someone who has a knowledge of the truth and maybe even agrees to the truth, but drifts back into legalism. So instead of believing in the provision of Jesus Christ, they go back into trying to maintain or attain to the precepts of the law by themselves. However, having said that, I think that this applies to people on a broader scale, which is to say we can know about Jesus Christ, we can agree that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, and not really have true saving faith. If we have true saving faith, then we continue in the path of Christ. We become those who participate in the kingdom. In fact, we are those who are consummators with Christ of the kingdom, which starts small and eventually fills the earth. So what's in view here is someone that no longer partakes of the means of grace that could be theirs. So as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you by definition are one who partakes of the means of grace, which is to say that you're involved in vital church membership.
It means that you partake of word and sacrament. If you don't, then you're going to be living on your own human energy or be on the sidelines, not living at all, as opposed to living by all His energy, which so powerfully works in you. But those who are truly of Christ, in Christ, have a seal of the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing as a deposit the inheritance that is theirs. And you can imagine, if you love the Lord just as you love your wife, as you spend time with the Lord like you do with your wife, you grow in intimacy of relationship, and that's what happens. But if you don't partake of the means of grace, the embers can quickly die out. We're coming up to a station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, the number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, torture, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Find out in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in a few moments. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence. And beyond question, the evidence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book anti-hero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
At Walden Pond, Henry David Thoreau spent 2 years in solitude, rigorously considering his own life so as to discover what is essential to the life of a man. He celebrated creation and embraced the gift of being with joyful gratitude. But is attuning oneself to the patterns of nature sufficient for living an essential human life? Find out in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. And here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Patsy listening in Batesville, Arkansas, WCRV. Hi, Patsy.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I'm old now, and I think I knew this once, but I've forgotten. Why is it that our Bible doesn't have those strange books like the Gospel of Thomas? Explain that to me, please, sir.
Well, there are a lot of Gospels. The Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Judas, all of those are Gospels that are late Gnostic Gospels, and they do not cohere with the biblical Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels in John, which is to say that if you ever take any time to read them, you end up either laughing or distraught. I remember a number of years ago, I read the 13 papyrus pages of the Gospel of Judas with a coworker, and as we were reading it together, we were laughing because it was so absurd. We also have in, you mentioned the Gospel of Thomas, we have such absurd statements as Peter saying to Jesus, make Mary leave us. And the reason was is that Mary was not a man. And Jesus said, don't worry, Peter, I will change her and make her a man so that she can inherit eternal life like the rest of us. So the kinds of teachings that you find in the late Gnostic Gospels are very, very different from what you find in the Gospels that are written by those who were eyewitnesses to the majesty of Jesus Christ.
I understand the real Bible was written very early, and I tried to look it up in the Bible Answer Man book and couldn't find it. It's probably in there, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, but where I really did a pretty significant treatment of this subject is in a book called Has God Spoken?
Mm-hmm. I would like to get the journal that he just spoke of. I mean, I have a few times given a gift to your ministry, and I had a stroke a year and a half ago and moved to the county close to my daughter, and I called you when I first moved here, and you sent me a copy of the new Bible Answer Man when I called in and told you that the first book that I read out of the Bible after Jesus saved me was Dr. Walter Martin's The Maze of Mormonism. And I said, one of these days I'll maybe have enough money to buy your new book, and you sent me one.
Recently,
I finally got enough money to give y'all a little bit of a gift.
Well, thank you. And look, if you need, and you will read Has God Spoken, I'll be happy to send that to you as a gift as well, along with the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal. So all you have to do is just hang on. We'll get that information out to you. Let's go to C.K. in Memphis, Tennessee, listing on WCRV. Hi, C.K. Hi.
Hi. I enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
And but I'm kind of disappointed in a few things. I was involved in a gay behavior most of my life, but I gave my life to the Lord about a year ago and have repented of my sin. And the information that is shared on your show, especially in your commercials, are, I feel, very hateful to gay people. And I believe that there is no sin that's any greater or any worse than any other one. But you know what I don't hear on Christian radio is excessive talk about people that are in the church that are divorced, that get remarried outside of the parameters of the Bible, that say the instances where it is okay. I never hear shows about that. And I just think that it is, there are a lot of people, gay people out there, that the message, especially on your commercials, are not going to attract gay people to the Christian lifestyle. And I really think that you should think very carefully about maybe calming the rhetoric down on your commercials, because they are certainly, and I can speak from experience about living a gay lifestyle or engaging in gay behavior, as you called it. I believe it, you had called it that on some of your previous shows, because it is not going to attract gay people to the Christian lifestyle.
Well, I appreciate.
And I think that there needs to be, I think there needs to be more outreach, and the commercials need to stop making gay people as these demonic, horrible people. Because for my, and what I'm learning in my church, which teaches the literal translation of the Bible, is that a woman hitting her hand with a hammer and saying, "Damn it," is no different. It is no more, being gay is no worse, and it's no better. And I really think that that is something that you should think about on your show. And again, I enjoy your show very much, but I'm very disappointed in the position and that your show is taking against gay people.
Well, first of all, I'm honored that you would call me and discuss this matter with me, because I think that the goal must be precisely as you say, to discuss the issue with kindness and with clarity. And one of the reasons that for over two decades I have had Joe Dallas on this broadcast speaking of homosexuality, he himself was like you, he lived the gay lifestyle, is because he does so with kindness and with clarity. Both those are very necessary. And to the extent that we fall short of that mark, we certainly would want to ask forgiveness. But nowhere that I know of do we think of homosexuals as demonic, horrible people. In fact, I have had friendships over the years with many gay or lesbian people, one in particular that we had long discussions. She happened to be lesbian. We played a lot of golf together. We were very, very good friends, played in tournaments together. We were partners. And I will tell you this, when she had some of the most difficult times in her life, she turned to me because she knew that I would deal with her in terms of both kindness and clarity. Let me say one other thing, though. When you say there are no sins that are worse than other sins, I think that a moment's reflection would dissuade you from that perspective. For example, if you think a angry thought and you say, "Damn it," as you just mentioned, it's far different than actually carrying out an angry act. For example, thinking a murderous thought is very, very different from actually murdering someone, and the consequences are very different as well. So not all sins are equal. And the point for us is simply to say that in love we tell the truth, because God places parameters around the lives of people, not because he is a cosmic killjoy, but rather because he wants our joy to be complete. The other side of this story, though, I think needs to be told, because there was a time in which the gay lobby wanted acceptance, and rightfully so, in the sense of no hatred, in the sense of being treated with fairness, kindness, and clarity, as I just said. But right now, that has changed very dramatically, where the LGBTQ community has an iron boot, and if you do not walk lockstep in line with their agenda, there are huge consequences. I mean, the kind of persecution that they have exacted against people in our culture is mind-boggling. And you think of the rhetoric. You look at an Obama in 2008. He was saying that marriage was for a man and a woman, and he believed that God had to be in the mix of that relationship. Now he has a completely different perspective. Anyone who would say that, now he will call a bigot. But the fact of the matter is, if he thinks back just a few years, that was the very language that he was using. And he now presupposes that because the culture has shifted and it's politically correct to speak in a certain way, that everyone has to shift with the culture. But as I said in my opening monologue, if you start to redefine monikers or words, those words end up being denuded of essential meaning. So I think that there are very important issues that ought to be discussed in this matter, but I also agree with what you said. I think that when someone like you becomes a believer, we ought to model the behavior of our Lord. We have to speak to the lost in truth and in love. And I love this quote by Robert Gagnon. He says, "The church can and should recapture Jesus' zeal for all the lost and sick of society, including those engaged in homosexual practice. Concretely, what that means is visiting their homes, eating with them, speaking and acting out of love rather than hate, communicating the good news about God's rule, throwing a party when they repent and return home, and then reintegrating them fully into communities of faith." One other point that I'd want to make. Look, if someone was trying to legitimize murder, we'd all be outraged about that, or should be outraged about that. So the real issue here is an agenda is being pushed. It doesn't happen to be the murder agenda at this point, but the other agenda is being pushed that you reference, and therefore, when it's being pushed, publicly being mandated in some senses, then it is right for us to let people know what the issues are and how to respond to those issues with clarity and with kindness.
Well, let me say this. I don't disagree with a lot of what you said, but you are lumping all gay people into this Obama opinion.
No, I'm not. And to the extent that I said that, I apologize.
And we're not.
Well, I absolutely agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. In fact, if you read the book that we're making available for those who support the ministry, speaking of homosexuality, that point is made with a tremendous amount of clarity.
Well, would you do me a favor? Would you listen to the promos that you're advertising about the book? Because I really think that there is a very judgmental tone to those promos on that book. And I really believe that that tone is not going to attract gay men and women to accept that their behavior is sinful and repent and turn to Christ. And I wish you would just have an open mind and listen to those promos, because they very much have a hateful tone to them.
CK, thank you so much for that suggestion. I will absolutely take you up on that. And I appreciate your willingness to call and to boldly state your position. It was a great conversation.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. When we come back from the break, I'm going to give the quote of the day, as always. So you look forward to that and more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. By the way, do remember those who join the monthly CRI support team. Be pleased to send you a copy of any one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. And when you join the CRI support team, you're supporting our mission and ministry all around the world. You can join in safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Again, we'll be right back in just a few moments with the quote of the day.
The Protestant reformers held that in order to have an assured knowledge that the Bible is God's Word, there must be an internal testimony of the Holy Spirit in the believer's heart. This view has its attractions, but it also raises theological and philosophical questions. Be sure to read James N. Anderson's article, The Internal Testimony of the Holy Spirit: How Do You Know That the Bible is God's Word? In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more right after this.
In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Other topics include mythicism and the public Jesus of history, logical and biblical defeaters of reincarnation and karma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Since the launch of the social media photo sharing app Instagram in October 2010, the trendy service has grown exponentially across a broad spectrum of users. What precisely are the appeal factors, and what is the most ethical approach to Instagram for conscientious users? Amber Stamper answers these questions in her article, An Ethic of Instagram, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And the quote of the day comes from D.L. Moody. He was right when he said, "A man can no more take in a supply of grace for the future than he can eat enough for the next 6 months, or take sufficient air into his lungs at one time to sustain life for a week. We must draw upon God's boundless store of grace from day to day as we need it." I've often said that if we fail to eat well-balanced meals on a regular basis, will eventually suffer the physical consequences. Likewise, if we do not regularly feed upon the Word of God, we will suffer the spiritual consequences. You cannot do next week's eating today in the same way we must feed regularly upon the Word of God. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Stephanie. She's listening in Springfield, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I've recently been to two different weddings. One of them, the couple was living together, and the girl's father was a pastor at a church, and he performed a ceremony, but there was never a marriage license. Then I've gone to another wedding where the couple were both involved in church. Both Christians didn't want to live together prior to marriage, but they had paid for the church, all the dresses. So the preacher went ahead and performed the ceremony and explained to everybody before the beginning of the service that they weren't legally married, but he was performing the ceremony. My question is, do you not have to have that certificate to be married? And what qualifies a couple to be married in the eyes of God?
Well, it's not an either or question. It's a both and, because we are married in the eyes of God and in the eyes of man. What we're doing is we are communicating to all those present that we are committed to one another. And commitment is a very serious matter, which is to say it's not entered into lightly, nor is it entered into without some legality. And the reason for this is because commitment is a very, very significant aspect of love. If we're not committed, even legally committed, if our marriage is simply based on feelings, we're setting ourselves up for a tremendous fall. The reason being, feelings are tremendously unreliable. We feel one way one day, the next week we might feel completely different. So if we just base our feeling on our marriage on feelings, we end up likely in a divorce situation. Whereas if we are committing to one another, both before God and in the eyes of man, in other words, legally, then we are more likely to stay in that marriage situation, more likely to exemplify the commitment that Christ had for his church, which is personified for the commitment by the commitment we have for one another.
Okay. So then in the instance of the first couple who were, for lack of a better way to describe it, they were living in sin prior to her father performing the ceremony. They were still living in sin post the ceremony.
Well, yes. I mean, the thing is that two people should not be living together according to the biblical parameters unless they're married. And if they do, then they are violating the precepts and principles of God. And they're saying, look, I know better than God knows. As I said to the caller in CK, I think it was in the previous segment, look, God puts parameters around our lives, not because he's a cosmic killjoy. He wants our joy to be complete. So there's a rhyme and reason for why God does what he does. And we simply should follow the owner's manual. It makes sense on the one hand. On the other hand, God's ways are clearly taking everything into perspective, while we always just see a snapshot in time. So to do it God's way is obviously the best way.
Okay.
Hopefully that helps.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much for your time.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to David next. He's listening in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. I was just listening to some of your calls and stuff, and you know, you're very well pronounced, and you do an excellent job. I don't know. You do very well. I'm not real well pronounced like you, and but I'm the soul. I'm the elect, and I'm the blessed that has been forgiven, and I know a lot of information that some people don't know, but I do know, like, the homosexual guy that called in and was talking to you. You know, sins are sins, like you said, and there's different levels of sin, but the problem is with people, what we do is in wrongful favor. We try to rationalize things that we can't even rationalize it properly because of our judgment isn't proper.
Yeah, I know. I think what's important in that regard, too, is that, you know, we do have to make judgments. I mean, Jesus makes that very clear. We should judge. A lot of people think that we shouldn't judge, but of course we should judge. Common sense tells us that we have to make judgments every day. But Jesus is saying that when you judge, judge with the right standard, not hypocritically or self-righteously, but by a right standard.
Yes, I believe you're right. No question about that. And I may have pronounced it wrong, because I know the spiritual man, they say, you know, they foresee and they judge all things, but them themselves will be judged wrongly by people, the spiritual man. But anyway, I had a question, because I know some of the things in the Bible, and I listen to you and get a lot of knowledge from you, but in Luke, if you go to Luke in 20 there on verse 41, 42, 43, and 44, it was just kind of a question. I guess it was a disciple that would be asking the Christ this, and, they were asking the questions, how can the Christ be the son of David, and how can David say, the Lord said to my Lord, you know, sit at my right hand till I make your knees my footstool.
Sure.
I do know the proper, I just was wondering what your, what you had to say about that, the information on that. And can I say one thing, too, real quick, before you answer that?
Quickly.
About our God. He is a beautiful, most graceful God you could imagine. But, you know, you have like these, the saint of the day. I mean, to have a true righteous judgment, Hank, you've got to let the people go. That is the only way to true righteous judgment, is by letting them go and having the free will that we have to have love and the choices of good and bad.
Well, let's take a look at the passage that you're talking about. In fact, I'll read it, where Jesus said to them, how can they say that the Christ is the son of David? Now, David himself said in the book of Psalms, and here we have a quotation, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, David calls him Lord. How is he then his son? The first reference to the Lord actually applies to God the Father. And then the term my Lord refers to Christ. So the question posed here is answered in that Christ is the son of David in his humanity, and Christ is David's Lord in his divinity. So Jesus here is challenging the teachers of the law to answer how the Christ can be both David's Lord and David's son, and Christ answers that question. The only way they can answer the question is to acknowledge that Messiah is also the divine Son of God. And this is what the teachers of the law were not willing to do. So this is a brilliant way for Jesus to identify himself by the Scripture. By the way, in my flip chart, Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine, I point to another passage, the passage in Mark chapter 14, where you have Caiaphas, the high priest, asking Jesus, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Well, that is reminiscent of what we read in Daniel, where Daniel has a vision at night, and there before him was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days. He was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And then you have Psalm 110:1, where the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So what's going on here? Combining Daniel's prophecy with David's proclamation is the way in which Jesus claims that he will sit on the throne of Israel's God and share God's very glory. So we have a mystery here, and we have to leave some things as mystery. Some things we cannot explain fully, And this is one of them. We started the broadcast today talking about the Trinity. We cannot explain the Trinity. We can apprehend it. We cannot fully comprehend it. And the same thing is true with Christ as Theanthropus, the God-man. He's one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. This is a mystery. It's an antinomy. It's something that we cannot fully prosper, but we bow our knee before God's revelation of himself to us. Because very clearly, Jesus is 100% God, and he's 100% man, and Jesus here is making both those claims in one passage and doing it in a very brilliant and profound way. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Steve in Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Hank. I just had a question about some clarification on some scripture and get your take on it.
And we got to do it quickly because I've got less than 50 seconds.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, where it's talking about the lawless man and sets himself up in God's temple. I was curious to what he's meaning by God's temple.
Yeah, well, obviously talking about the second temple in context, and Paul is looking at what has already happened in the past and projecting that another evil Caesar will do the same thing and become the abomination of desolation, very much like the Old Testament Antichrist Antiochus IV Epiphanes was. So this is looking at the second temple. Many people suppose it is a different temple, but remember, there is no more temple. Once Jesus Christ comes, he is the one who is the antitype that fulfills the shadow and the type that comes before. He is the substance that fulfills the shadow. Much more could be said. I've written about that in my book, The Apocalypse Code. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more answers to your questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence. And beyond question, the evidence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book antihero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI
or subscribe online at equip.org.